Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. The funny thing was, I think I said that in the second inning. Like, I didn't even have any concept about the domino effect of unfortunate circumstances that was to come. That was ugly. It's amazing to be a team that's, you know, pretty good in a playoff position and have two games like this in 5 days.
Yes. Okay. And I get where you're going with that. For me, Dan, it's, I'm not sure, I don't want to take anything away from what this team has done, and I'm not here to pour cold water on the excitement. Playoff baseball in Toronto was not expected in 2020. So that's the baseline off of which we work. But I'm not sure there are enough games or days left between now and the end of the regular season to convince me that this team will completely clean itself of all of its base running and defensive issues.
No, they won't. They have too many base running issues, and they're not a good defensive team. The eye test says they're not, and the analytics say they're not. They're not a good defensive team, and obviously what Derek Fisher's night last night is a whole conversation unto itself that that we can have. They're flawed. They're the seventh or eighth best team probably in a year in which eight teams are going to get into the playoffs. And I'm with you. I'm not here to pour cold water on this either. They have shown a tremendous amount of resiliency through a bunch of stuff to win more games than they've lost, and they deserve credit for that. That having been said, what happened last night can't happen. It just can't happen to a major league team. And, Derek Fisher dropping the one ball, not getting to the second ball, just completely torpedoed Taijuan Walker's outing. And that's another unfortunate part, because he looked like he had really good stuff. And eventually they just knocked him around in the second inning. So I think that they're going to have a decision to make in the next couple of days, because Teoscar Hernandez is coming back. And I think we all think they're going to make one decision, even though a lot of us think they should probably make another decision, but it's not our day to run the team. But they, from the day they got him, the front office has talked about the upside and the tools of Derek Fisher, like they did with Socrates Brito. They saw something in Brandon Drury that was not evident to most of us who were watching the games. There are some people just at the front office really, really likes and thinks that they have breakthrough ability and a high ceiling, but I don't know if they can do anything but put their best team on the field every single night the rest of the season. And I'm not here to, pound on the guy. It's that's not who I am, but I don't see how they can put Derek Fisher in the outfield again right now. Jonathan Davis is a better option. Kevin Biggio is a better option. They have flexibility. They can move people around, and I think they've got to put their best lineup on the field every day the rest of the season.
Right, but Dan, those same people who saw something in Brandon Drury finally came around to the notion that enough was enough. The same people who were intrigued by the handedness, and that was the quote, of Socrates Brito, finally came around, and it took them less time with him than it did with Drury, and he was shown the door. Derek Fisher, I would imagine, is in that same boat. And Ziggy and I were talking about the fact that he seems to have the yips. So it's not the Knobloch, Steve Sachs, second to first base throwing yips. It's not the Mackie Sasser, Giovanni Soto, I can't throw the ball back to the pitcher as a catcher after receiving a pitch yips. It's the I can't catch a fly ball yips. This is a guy who in his first game as a Blue Jay a little more than a year ago in Baltimore misplayed an easy fly ball in right field, and it clunked him in the cheekbone.
Yep. And I mean, there's something here. 100%. I'm not going to push back on any of this. I have seen him, since he got here, pull up on, 5, 6, 7, 8 balls where his speed dictates he should have caught the ball. And now in hindsight, I've always wondered, is it just not taking good routes? Is he not a risk taker? Maybe he's afraid to try to catch it, and so he'll just play it on a bounce. So you can be, we can talk about exit velocity and sprint speed all we want, but if he is afraid to make the plays or can't make the plays, none of the StatCast stuff matters. It just really doesn't. And the day they acquired him, I was in Houston doing a game for ESPN Radio. So I went and talked to all the Houston broadcasters. They wanted to know about Aaron Sanchez and Joe Biagini, and I wanted to know about Derek Fisher. And over and over and over again, I got from everybody, and I'm like four or five different people, the tools are real. Like, once in a while, he'll run into one and hit one a mile. The speed is real, but just the nuts and bolts baseball stuff isn't there. And he is very fast, but he can't steal a base. He's got a below average arm. Like, I've heard people refer to him as a five-tool player, and I don't mean people in the front office. I just mean, like, people on Twitter and stuff. I don't know anybody who ever called him a five-tool player. He's got a below average arm. And again, he's got great speed. We saw him hit a 448 home run in Buffalo. But if you can't make routine plays in the outfield, there are 27 other guys in the room. You know, you got to put your best team on the field. And will he hit a little bit more against Jonathan Davis? Maybe. But not to get too deep into this, if they ever want to, you know, they've got Sean Panic. If they face a tough lefty and they want to sit somebody down, one way to do it is, you know, you DH Teoscar or Grichuk and you put Jonathan Davis in there against the lefty. Like, I actually think a right-hand hitting outfield bat as a fourth outfielder makes way more sense than a left-handed bat, because there's an opportunity to get Davis in there and DH one of the other guys when you sit Shaw or Panic down against a lefty and you got to have somebody else. Like, it's just not a fit in my mind. You know, Alfred is gone, McKinney is gone, Davis may get sent down, and Fisher's still here. And again, I'm not trying to, he's struggling, right? And I feel badly for him. Whatever's going on is not fun. Derek Fisher's having less fun with this than anybody. But this is the major leagues, and they're in a pennant race, and I think a tough decision has to be made.
Walker looked like he had his stuff last night, though, Dan. That's the tough part for me, is when you have a guy coming in playing well. How hard is that on a pitcher when you do have your stuff and your guys just seem to kind of fail you in, you know, defensively?
Yeah, it's incredibly hard. And you know, whether they eventually would have gotten to him or not, Ziggy, we don't know. But I'm with you. He looked, for the first five batters of the game, he looked great. He was three up, three down in the first, and then it was an out and a double, I believe, in the second inning before everything went sideways on him. And I thought he had really good stuff. And it happened two plays in a row. Like, the second play wasn't routine, but a good major league outfielder catches that ball almost all the time, in my opinion. And I think, and I've seen this before, where he kind of, you know, tippy-toes a little bit as he gets close to the wall. He pulls up a little bit before he gets to the wall. And they're the Yankees, you know. You give them five outs, and they're going to pummel you. And then, you know, Yamaguchi just didn't have it. We haven't seen that from him in a long time. You know, he had a rough night, and now they have to use Kay, and now they have to use Baruchy, and they have to use guys they don't want to use. And they're going to have to make a roster move today. I believe in order to get a fresh arm up, because they got a doubleheader Friday, and they're all of a sudden, all that work they did to get their staff, you know, back in sync is kind of in disarray again after last night. So I feel very badly for Taijuan Walker. I think Taijuan Walker is good. I think he had his good stuff last night. I think he was capable of having a good outing last night against a really good lineup, and none of that happened. You just can't give good teams extra outs.
Do you think the Jays move him up now and play him sooner, maybe this Friday in the doubleheader?
Yeah, it's possible. We were talking about that. Like, last night had Ross Stripling written all over it, and I'm guessing, Buck guessed, actually, between the innings, he said to me, well, maybe. Like, he thought he saw Stripling before the game throwing a bullpen, and maybe he was doing that, getting ready for one of the doubleheader games on Friday. And if that's the case, you know, that's unfortunate that they weren't able to use him last night. They could bring Walker back on short rest. They did it with Trent Thornton earlier in the year when he got knocked out in the second inning of a game. They brought him back 3 days later, I think it was, on short rest. But, you know, again, they might have to make a move to help them. They've got Patrick Murphy and Hector Perez on the taxi squad. They're both relievers. They've got TJ Zoik stretched out as a starter in Rochester. And I fear, like, somebody like Anthony Kay could get demoted today, unless somebody comes up hurt. Like, if Ken Giles came out of the game with something, or Yamaguchi's got something, you know, then maybe there's an IL thing. But I'm afraid, like, Anthony Kay, who's struggling now, he was great in the first half of the year, and he hasn't been as good. You know, maybe they demote Anthony Kay for 10 days, let him try to figure it out, get some rest, clear his mind, and bring up TJ Zoikin as an emergency guy who can pitch 3-4 innings in a game in which they're trailing. And it's Garrett Cole and Tanner Roark tonight. Like, they need a contingency plan for tonight in case, you know, this game gets away from them.
Right, and we're with Dan Schulman, and it could have been Dan, and you know where I'm going with this. Tanaka and Ryu tomorrow. which is, I guess, a determination that they've made that they want to. I wonder, do you think we're headed towards six-man starting rotations, generally speaking? Or do you think this is a byproduct of the shortened ramp-up off the pandemic?
I think it's a byproduct of the shortened ramp and fewer off days in the season. It's a short season, but it's an intense season. 60 in 66 days is fewer off days per week or per month than 162 in 186 days, if you know what I'm saying. So I think these guys usually pitch a fair bit on one extra day's rest, and they haven't been able to do that. And even 60 in 66 is misleading for the Blue Jays because they had that series against the Phillies postponed because of the Marlins outbreak. So now they had 28 games in 27 days. So nobody could take an extra day for 5.5 turns through the rotation. And, if Charlie says they asked for you and he asked for an extra day, then I think we've got to take that at face value. So, you and I had this conversation off the air about what they could have, well, on the air and off the air, and you were right. If they had been in a position to do it, he would have been set up to start the last day of the regular season. You hope you don't need him the last day of the regular season, and then it's a moot point. They've got one, unless they get really creative or think outside the box, they've got one more opportunity to give him an extra day, either his next start, his last start, or first day of the playoffs. And I think I know what I would do, but again, the doubleheader complicates things, and I think they've kind of got to get through Friday and then come up for air and see where they are.
Dan Schulman, our guest, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So by virtue of the fact that the Blue Jays lost to the Yankees last night, Toronto is now seventh of the eight teams, and if the playoffs were to start today, would play their three-game series in Tampa Bay against the number two-seeded Rays. What do you make of the announcement of the bubble system here and the fact, Dan, that all the way up until the World Series, there will be no off days?
Yep.
Like, because there are no travel days, obviously.
Yep.
The World Series still will be two off day, three off day, two. But
yep.
You're three straight, you're five straight, and then in the championship series, you're seven straight. I like this. Because my first thought is it may force teams to actually use their starting pitchers more.
Mm-hmm.
Or am I wrong?
Well, I'll tell you why it's happening. It's happening because they want to finish on October the 28th. They want to have the Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday that they always have in the World Series. They want to avoid Thursday night football and they want to avoid Monday night football. These are things I know. So those are the days they want to play the World Series. So to do that, you end on Wednesday, October the 28th. Now back, you start from the finish line and back up to the start. They need extra days to get teams into the bubble. This is COVID. It's 2020. So there are no off days within the first three rounds, but there are three off days after the wild card round before the division series round. That is to get the players to the bubble, get them tested, get them settled, and then start baseball. So if you're losing, if you have three off days before division series round, you can't have as many off days within playoff rounds if you want to finish on October the 28th. That's what's going on here. It's a combination of television and COVID. The only reason they can do it is because nobody's traveling. It allows them to do this. I like it. I think it's fine. It's one of the many, many things where you say, well, we got to do it this way. Seven-inning doubleheaders, home teams playing. You're the home team on the road, runner at second, rescheduling games like crazy. They got to do what they got to do to finish the season. And I think they've done a good job. I think they've chosen the right ballparks, assuming that the West Coast is playable. And, who knows what the situation will be with the fires and the air quality. But when they made the decision to choose L.A., San Diego, Arlington, Houston, and put together this format, I think a lot of thought went into it, and I think it was a good plan.
Rosters will be at 28. There will be a large taxi squad as well.
Yeah.
So you play a three-game series. That's obvious. You're only going to use a starting pitcher once. You're playing a five-game series, Dan. You can't get him game one and game five, right?
Yeah.
So...
Unless you bring him back on short rest, but let's use the Blue Jays staff as an example. You're going to have a bullpen game. You're going to have, a Merriweather to a Stripling to a Baruchy to a Bass kind of game if things go well. How many teams have five good starters? So I think every team will be doing that. It's going to be stressful on pitching staffs, but you've got 28-man rosters. Most teams will have 14, 15 pitchers. You know, we're used to seeing teams go down a pitcher heading into the playoffs because of the off days. That can't happen anymore. So I think you'll see teams carry a 15-man pitching staff, and it's going to be a true test of the depth of the staff within the entire organization. And then you'll see, you know, again, you can change your roster from round to round, right? So, you know, if one guy gets worn out, you might see him go to the taxi squad and somebody else come up for the next round.
Just because we speculated on this and it has come true. I would count the Blue Jays, Dan, as my American League team right now that has been the pleasant surprise. And I believe that the Angels being the unpleasant surprise of the American League has facilitated that. In the National League, the Miami Marlins are the fifth seed right now and would play at number four San Diego in a three-game series if the playoffs were to start today. Sixto Sanchez is a name that nobody up here would be familiar with. The Jays faced him earlier in the year, but other than that, nobody would have heard of him. Like, this guy seems like a bona fide ace. Is Miami a 2021, I'll say, contender, but playoff bubble team in a normal season? Or do you think that they're not a 162-game contender yet, and it might be 2022, 2023? I ask only because they're a pleasant surprise, and I'm fascinated to see if Jeter can actually do this.
Yeah, and that's without saying that they lost 18 players to a COVID outbreak for a couple of weeks and still held their own, which is amazing. I mean, you lose 18 of your 30 players and find a way to win enough ball games for a 14-day period to keep you around 500 is really impressive. So they're improving, and I don't think they're a joke like, you know, they have been, or the Orioles. Like, they're not that team anymore. They've got some good young players. I don't think they're a great team, and if this year were 162, I don't think it would be sustainable for them. I think eventually a Brewers or a Reds or somebody, a Mets would figure it out and be better than them. But they are improving, and they've got a good farm system that is starting to come around. They've got good arms at the minor league level, or they're not pitching this year, but that we haven't seen yet. They're getting there, but, you know, can they beat San Diego? I mean, two out of three, I guess anything can happen. No real home field advantage, no fans, that sort of thing. But they're getting there, and they have been a surprise. And they're, again, considering the COVID outbreak, it's borderline miraculous that they've been able to do what they've done so far.